from Radio Deutsche Welle in Cologne, Melody Time. We invite you to join us for 30 minutes of light classical music. Hello there, I'm Maurice O'Brien de Clare. Welcome to this edition of Melody Time. About 175 years ago, Carl Maria von Weber wrote one of his most popular compositions, Invitation to the Dance. Originally scored for the piano, this composition represented a landmark in the development of 19th century virtuoso piano music. But it only really became well known after the French composer and great admirer of Weber, Hector Berlioz, wrote an orchestral version. And here it is, played by the Wiener Symphonica, conducted by Willy Boskowski. Invitation to the Dance by Karl Maria von Weber. In 1819, the newly married and very much in love husband dedicated this piece to his beloved Caroline. As well as the usual notations regarding tempi and so on, Weber had added precise instructions in the score on how the whole operation in the ballroom was to proceed. The first glance, invitation, beginning of the dance, whispered messages, waltzing bliss, end of the dance. 2 years earlier, in 1817, the court conductor married the singer, at long last. Friends of the couple had given up any hope of a happy end to the turbulent romance of the two. Karl and Caroline were engaged in 1814, then disengaged in 1815, only to be re-engaged in 1816. And at the wedding ceremony 1 year later, we are told that the majority of the congregation were convinced that at the very last moment, the couple would call the whole thing off. But 2 years later, they were still very happily married. And in that year, Weber wrote Invitation to the Dance for his beloved Caroline. The composer, who was also a well-known piano virtuoso, was able to personally play his gift, so to speak, that intimate musical present that was to become, within a week, the talk of the town. In far-off Vienna, the waltz was taking the old imperial capital by storm. It soon made its appearance on the stage in operettas. Soon, all operettas had to have at least one waltz included in the score. That it did not fit in with either the plot or the period of the story doesn't seem to have bothered anyone. Take, for example, the operetta Boccaccio, written by Franz von Suppé. The story was set in 14th century Florence, but Suppé completely ignored the Ars Nova music of the period and instead inserted the waltz rhythm of his own era, with great success, I might add. Here's one of them.
Florenza, schöne Frauen, die schönste bist du. Doch höhnst du meine Qualen und lächelst dazu. Du kennest nicht die Liebe, verschmähst die sanften Triebe. Nur Spott und kalte Grausamkeit sind dir die höchste Lust. Einst sollst du sehen, was wird geschehen. Wieder verschmähten Liebe Qual, die Brust erfüllt mit Wehe. Wieder verschmähten Liebe Qual, mit Wehe erfüllt die Brust.
Auch in Florenz sind Trauer nicht ohne Gefühl.
Ach ja.
Scherzen wagen, verlachen Liebesklagen und doch nicht kalte Grausamkeit in unserer Brust. Allein kommt eins heran, gerechte Mann, dann nur vermag auch Amors Pfeil dies Herz.
deiner schöne Abhoffentlichkeit.
Ob treu du dich bewährtest, darauf kommt es an.
Willst du gefühllos bleiben, mich zur Verzweiflung treiben?
Wenn Wahrheit deine Flamme sind, nur dann erhöre ich dich. Ist, was mich sehe,
steht, was du siehst.
Ob du in freier, heißer Glut für wahre
Anneliese Rothenberger and Hermann Prey sang that waltz duet from the operetta Boccaccio by Franz von Suppé. The Bavarian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Willy Boskowski. Now, when Suppé wrote that operetta in 1879, right up until the end of the premiere, he'd no way of knowing whether it would appeal to the audience or not. A musical or operetta could have the most exciting or romantic plot and wonderful melodies, but this is absolutely no guarantee of success. Take the operetta Waldmeister, named after that handy little plant, the woodruff. It was composed by Johann Strauss the Younger, also known as the Waltz King. The famous and feared Viennese critic Eduard Hanslick said that he detected the golden touch of Mozart in the operetta. Well, golden touch or not, although the premiere could be regarded as a mild success, soon the unfortunate Waldmeister was taken off and almost forgotten. I say almost, because Strauss later published some of the more popular melodies as single pieces. Take the following as an example. Es war so wunderschön, it was so beautiful. This march melody is played by the Austrian Radio and Television Symphony Orchestra conducted by Peter Gutt. March, Opus 467 by Johann Strauss the Younger. Carl Zeller was, strictly speaking, an amateur composer. I say amateur because Dr. Carl Zeller was a highly respectable Viennese lawyer. True, he was both attracted to music and musically gifted, and as a young man, alongside his legal studies, he took lessons in composition. But he was clear in his mind about his career. The law would give him security, respectability, and prosperity. Music, immense pleasure. So he composed as a hobby. He wrote choral works, lieder, operas, and in 1891, his greatest hit, the operetta Der Vogelhändler, or Bird Merchant, was an instant success and was performed almost 200 times at the prestigious Theater an der Wien. Listen now to Renate Holm, accompanied by the Wiener Symphonica, conducted by Willy Boskowski, as she sings, Ich bin die Christel von der Post. I'm Christel from the Post. the song of Crystal from the Post, from the operetta Der Vogelhändler by Karl Zeller. I'd like to end today's program on a rousing note. In fact, a piece which celebrates fiery Hungarian music as we would expect it. For Johannes Brahms, the great German composer from Hamburg, wrote the world-famous Hungarian Dances. Did he borrow Hungarian folk tunes and gypsy music? Who knows? And let's be honest, who cares? The dancers are pure excitement. The North German Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by John Elliott Gardner, now plays Hungarian Dance No. 5 by Johannes Brahms. Hungarian Dance No. 5 by Johannes Brahms. And there we end this edition of Melody Time. The program, which was produced by Rick Fulker with sound engineer Christoph Petter, came to you from Radio Deutsche Welle in Cologne. This has been Maurice O'Brien de Clare wishing you all the very best. And do take care, won't you? Bye now.